Welcome to this episode of the award-winning Best of Left podcast. This is a sample of our recent bonus episode, usually only available to members. These episodes are comprised of our crew of researchers, Amanda and myself, all getting together for a roundtable discussion on topics that we find interesting. So here's a few minutes for free so you can know what all the fuss is about.
And by doing the both-sidism, you're kind of playing into some of the real problems that we're having currently, especially in the political realm, where we are living in different realities, where this journalistic need to play both sides as if there is not facts, as if that doesn't matter, that you have to allow someone space, even if what they're spouting is complete misinformation. I mean, like, again, one of the biggest things that's dividing our country is still the big lie about an election that happened years ago that went through trials trying to prove that there was some kind of nefarious thing going on that never went anywhere. There was no proof or evidence ever found that Joe Biden was not the rightful winner of the election. And yet, there are people in our society that don't believe that. And it's seen as like, well, you have your opinion and I have mine. Like, you have your facts, I have my facts. And that's just how we're going to play it. And then you look at journalists and it is no wonder, because you treat it and you bring people on to spout these different perspectives as if we don't know. We know what happened. There was a thorough investigation. That is all that should matter at this point. Other sides are still being platformed as if that's just as valid as all of the cases that went through trials and were declared again that there was nothing wrong with the elections. That's not the same thing. Those don't equate to one another.
And that's why trying to do this view from nowhere about a movie called Civil War in America is impossible, because, you know, I thought it was interesting that the dystopian war fiction before the Civil War was written by mostly Southerners fantasizing about Civil War. And if you look at now, like, I'm going to cite specifically Tim Pool. Tim Pool's YouTube channel is 50% Civil War's coming. Civil War. We're on our way to Civil War. Civil War. So who's talking about it the most? Who's fantasizing about it the most? It is specifically one side that talks about Civil War. Now, I think there's a growing agreement that Civil War is possible from multiple sides of politics, but there is one side that wants it and fantasizes about it. So to make a movie that makes it seem like, who knows who started it, who cares, doesn't matter. That does matter. That matters a lot. Oh, who starts a war says a lot about what's going on with the war.
Absolutely. And the view from nowhere, the like disinterest with the politics. And a lot of the articles argue like, hey, you know, like, it's basically a commercial decision, right? He doesn't want to offend half the audience and hurt ticket sales. But I honestly don't know that that was his reasoning. I kind of think that his primary reasoning, as I think we're going to get into, was more about wanting to highlight journalism and downplay the politics, just to highlight the horrors of war and the benefits of journalists. And like, that was kind of his philosophical goal. But yeah, when you ignore the politics so much, not only do you end up with an Amanda Principle film that can be interpreted by anyone for whatever ends they want, but the point you're making that war is bad is like so demonstratively insufficient that it seems sort of sad and pathetic, as opposed to making a film that points in a direction of how could a civil war be avoided. If his primary concern is, as he's stated, polarization, then like, why is there not a single mention of how to roll back polarization? Why is there not a single mention of how politics should be structured in a way to downplay polarization? It's probably just not in his wheelhouse. He might just not have good ideas. And as the journalists in the film, who basically represent the perspectives of the filmmaker, just like, it's not our job to ask those questions. it's our job to present what's happening or present a reflection of what's happening. And the film is an imagining of what could happen and let other people ask questions. Like, it's a conversation starter, but in a world of hyperpolarization, the conversation is just going to be hyperpolarized. So yeah, it would have been very much welcomed if you could have pushed the conversation in a direction so that people responding to it would have a jumping off point different from just, yeah, war is bad. Like, war is bad, we definitely shouldn't do it, or war is bad, but it's necessary because, you know, Democrats eat babies, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, and actually, I want to touch on the portrayal of the journalists a little bit, because, again, this film writer and director continued to say over and over again, this is sort of in honor of journalists, or I'm showing their importance and how much of a difference they make, et cetera, et cetera. Well, again, he completely wildly misses that mark. First of all, he never once shows the results of their work. No little glimpse of a headline or a newspaper or like anything like that, or anyone reacting to what these people have done. Like, there's none of that. Absolutely none of it. And so you can't ever see the impact of their work, if it's making a difference or not. And then the other piece of it is he portrays these journalists as sociopaths. I mean, truly. I'm not saying I know everything about being a war correspondent. I certainly don't. But in my journalism studies in school, we talked about the ethics of being in a war zone and covering it. There was a whole class about the ethics in journalism, and we talked about a million different angles of this. And it came up, obviously, in other classes as well. Journalists don't just walk in and just stand there and look around and report what's happening and then go home. That is not how it goes. You are a human being in this world. Your job is to get information. Your job is to ask questions. Your job is to take a picture that shows what is actually happening so that other people can see it. Your job is, yes, to be somewhat objective, but it's not to lose your humanity while you're doing your job. In fact, you're supposed to use your humanity to make sure that people who aren't physically there can relate and understand to what is happening to other humans on a different part of this planet. So there are scenes in this movie that absolutely gave me the bad kind of chills. One of the main characters at one point, and I think they quoted it in one of these articles as well, you know, is seeing gunfire in his own country during a civil war where the country has basically collapsed. And he's like, oh, I'm getting so hard right now watching that gunfire. Okay, I know that adrenaline junkies exist, and that is true. But that portrayal was cartoonish and does not take into account at all the fact that he's in his own country covering a civil war and not another country covering a civil war, which, let's just be real, is different, right? Especially when you're from the United States, which has this reputation and power in the world that other places that are usually having conflict do not. And so that was just one part of it. And then the other piece that floored me is there's this montage scene where they're hanging out with one side. Again, you don't know who's who of these militia forces. And they start playing kind of like electronica jazz music, really like high energy jazz music. And they do this montage where they're with these guys. Meanwhile, like executions are taking place. And the journalist is like hanging out with the winners of that battle and like smoking a cigarette with them and laughing and joking while other people are being executed in the background. And again, because you don't know what side is what and you don't know who's who, you can't really put any context around it. And so it does just make this person look like an absolute sociopath. Like, he does not care at all that people are being executed behind him. And then adding that like fun, upbeat music as well. I was like, what is the point here? What are you trying to say? I do not get it. I do not get it. You're making these people look soulless. And it's one thing to be traumatized by what you've seen and to be hardened by it. And so maybe you don't react to everything the same way. But the way this was portrayed just made these people look like, we are robots. We're just here to document and we have no other stake in this game. And they talk about where they're from. One's from Colorado, one's from Missouri, one's from Florida. So these are Americans covering their own civil war and have no reaction to it at all.
Sort of hard to believe.
And they're talking about rival news outlets. So that was the other piece that I found not believable at all. We got to beat these other guys to the president to make sure we get our interview. Please, in the world that you have constructed, that is not the conversation that's happening.
Yeah, no kidding. Moving on to the next phase of the Amanda Principle that I've noted here. This is a quote from an analyst who we use on the show pretty frequently, Jared Yates Sexton. And he says, a lot of these people, particularly right-wing, radicalized young white men, they are absolutely steeped in media. And if you spend any time in these circles online, all of their references are either misunderstood art, such as The Matrix or Fight Club, or it's ambiguous art that they're able to co-opt for their own purposes. I see this as absolutely being very ripe for the right to embrace it and celebrate it and turn it into their own sort of vision board, for lack of a better term. And so that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to make a piece of political art in a hyperpolarized society, which obviously this filmmaker knows he's doing because that's the point of him making the film, then you actually have to do a sort of cost-benefit analysis here. Is the point I'm going to make good enough to counterbalance the risk of my art being co-opted and used for the benefit of those who I oppose? And this film does not pass that threshold at all. The best thing it says is war is bad, and it tries to say that journalism is good, but does a really bad job of it. And on the other side, it made a very intentional choice to be super ambiguous, which is the hallmark of a piece of art that can be co-opted by the far right as a recruiting tool for how fucking cool it would be to have a civil war. Like, look at that fascist president. He's just like Biden. And yeah, all we need to do is inspire people enough to form militias and invade DC. You know, like, they get those fever dreams going. And it probably wouldn't work out that way in real life, but like, people are going to do dumb and dangerous things with those fever dreams. And so that's sort of my disappointment. I've been saying for a while that I don't believe in satire anymore. And it sort of comes down to this.
That's it for today's free sample. There's lots more of that particular episode, as well as there being dozens of past bonus episodes that you get access to in your feed the minute you sign up as a new member. Paying members are who make this entire show possible. And so these bonus episodes are a fun way to say thanks to them for their support. In addition to those full bonus episodes, members also get bonus clips in every single regular episode, as well as there being no ads in the regular show. If you would like to be our newest member, you can sign up at bestoftheleft.com/support. You can use our Patreon page, or you can do it from right inside the Apple Podcast app, and links to get there are right in our show notes. And if you can't afford membership, I offer free financial hardship memberships. Just drop me an email to j@bestoftheleft.com and we will get you set up, no questions asked. Or again, to sign up and support the show and our ability to give away free financial hardship memberships, visit us at bestoftheleft.com/support. Thanks for listening.